How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan. Sorry, we were talking there, and I forgot to bump out the show there. But yeah. So how's it going? We are here today, and we're going to be talking about politics. Now, last week I had a show that it was a new show, but I was in Put-in Bay last week, so it was not a live show per se. But when I was in Put-in Bay, I was talking to some of the locals, and it's a pretty interesting place. Like, I was talking to one of the people who was working at, you know, one of the places, and I asked them if they were local, and they, you know, told me yeah. He said he had just graduated, well, not just, but like, because he was going to college, but he said his graduating class had 6 people in it. Now, I don't know how many graduating people were in my class, but we had, you know, well over 200, you know, something like that. So I don't quite know how that works. You know, and he said that that's a big graduating class, too, and that this year's graduating class had 2 people. Well, I don't know. Just mind-boggling to me. He also pointed about the high school to me, so I could, because I wanted to see what the high school looked like, because, you know, such a small school. As you might suspect, it's a small school building. I saw their hospital. It's a small little, like, block-looking hospital. Now, I don't know how big it is on the inside. Maybe it, like, because it's, like, part of a building, so maybe, like, it's the whole building, but, like, only part of it looks, is you know, shows that it's a hospital. I don't know, but it was interesting. I asked them what they do in the winter time. They said, you know, nothing. You know, they said that they you don't really work in the winter time. There's one place open, and it's the restaurant that they have on Put-in Bay. Year round, I guess. And besides that, they fish and they drink and they ski, you know, that kind of stuff. So it seems like in the wintertime, they just have a grand old time. It's unfortunate it's in the wintertime, though. I'd rather work in the winter and then have all summer off. That'd be fantastic. But yeah, no, so there's that. I just thought that was interesting. Figured I'd fill you guys in. There we go. As far as that went. But yeah, so there was that. Now, I also met somebody who moved all the way from New York to work at the bars, to work at one of the bars in Put-in Bay, which I thought was crazy. I wouldn't be moving all the way from New York to go live on an island in Ohio that was basically a big bar. You know, so there's that. But nonetheless, they said they love it, so I'm glad that they're having a great time. But with that being said, we are, I guess, going to start talking about the political news. So, a U.S. district judge ordered the removal of Trump's name from the I wrote Kennedy twice. Removal of Trump's name from the Kennedy Center. He also blocked the administration from closing the cultural and arts venue for renovations that was supposed to start in July. You know, I don't know why they even allowed Trump's name. I don't have a whole lot to say on this, I suppose, but I don't even know why they allowed Trump's name to be put on the Kennedy Center building. You know, the legislation pretty good and well says, cut and dry, that, you know, you can't do that. So I think this is quite good on behalf of this U.S. district judge. I did find the legislation and got the full thing here. It is fitting and proper that a living institution of the performing arts, designated as the National Center for the Performing Arts, named in the memory and honor of this great leader, shall serve as the sole national monument to his memory within the District of Columbia and its environs. Yeah. So, it should be a memorial solely to him. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're just like, oh, that's not how we interpreted it. They're, you know, crooked. But, yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say on this. I just, again, I don't know why they even decided that it was able for that to happen. Like I said, legislation pretty good and well says that it's pretty cut and dry that you know, can't do that. And I don't know, never was, never will be, was not when he did it, legal. So it was an illegally done name change, and yeah. So I guess that just goes to show you how little backbone the Congress has right now. They're growing. Their backbones are slowly growing, but it's unfortunate that it took all the way up until almost the election. So, you know, midterms. But yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised they even let it happen. So there's that. Good on the judge for forcing them to remove the name. Yeah. He also said in his, because I also read the judge's statement, you know, the actual decision, and he said something on there that, like, the court recognizes that that bipartisan appointments happen, you know, in the political world, and a lot of the times people are appointed, people appoint their friends and you know, colleagues or whatever, and that it's just, there's no requirement, nor is there even any pressure to for those people to be qualified, though it is you know, recommended and you know, the stuff like that they have it. It's preferable. But, you know, I thought that was just interesting to see in a judge's decision. But I think they brought it up to say that they weren't trying to, like, the only thing that they said that the Trump Kennedy Center couldn't do was remodel and change the name. Or, I guess it's not the Trump Kennedy Center anymore, is it? It's the Kennedy Center now. But yeah, so they also have a deadline to they have to remove the name, you know, Trump Kennedy Center, from the paperwork and whatnot, and they'd have to, you know, get the Kennedy Center paperwork back. So yeah. There is that. Now, the U.S. House of Representatives has voted to pass House Concurrent Resolution 38. House Resolution 38, or House Concurrent Resolution 38, I guess, is essentially the War Powers Act. They already put it up once, and they shot it down. And then they put it up a second time, and then they canceled the vote. And the third time's the charm, I guess, and it passes. And the bill summary, as it reads on congress.gov, is, this concurrent resolution directs the president to terminate the use of U.S. armed forces from hostilities against Iran or any part of the Iranian government or military unless a declaration of war or authorization to use military force for such purpose has been enacted. The resolution specifies that it shall not be construed to prevent the United States from defending itself from an imminent attack. So, the resolution itself states that, by the way, the Senate has one also that says similar things, but the resolution specifies that it shall not be construed to prevent the United States from defending itself from imminent attack. So there's that. I mean, they I guess, specify, the bill specifies that it is not to you know, defang us, I suppose. But yeah, so I guess it has passed. The vote was 215 to 208 to adopt, and the deadline was 60 days, or is 60 days, I guess. Now, the Democrats had four Republicans flip. To vote alongside them, the four Republicans being Thomas Massie from Kentucky, Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, Tom Barrett from Michigan, and Ohio's own Warren Davidson. Yeah, so four Republicans swapped, and no Democrats crossed the aisle, as you know, you might suspect, I guess. So I was wrong earlier. Earlier I said Trump would need like three people to flip. It's actually four. He needs four, not three. But because it would be likely have to be an official declaration of war, you know, it would have to be more than that because the Senate would have to get involved and also support the an official declaration of war. So, yes, the House Concurrent Resolution 38 has passed, 215 to 208, with a 60-day deadline for Trump to either withdraw or seek congressional approval to continue. Yeah. Now, I don't know if Trump's going to follow through with it. I mean, he made some big rambling post on social media talking about how this was very unpatriotic and inhibited his ability to, negotiate the end of the war with with Iran. So, I don't know, he's kind of hand-waved it off, at least on social media. So I guess it depends on how that'll work. I guess we shall see. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. By the way, Thomas Massey, he was like the main sponsor of this bill. He introduced, by the way, I wanted to get some information on the bill. By the way, so Thomas Massey is the main sponsor of the bill. It was also sponsored by a couple of Democrats. And it was introduced on June 17th of 2025. So, by the way, for those of you who forgot, understandably so, dates are rough to remember. The war started on February 28th. Okay, so, before the war even actually started, and before we had any, conflict, other than, words, I guess. So before we even had any conflict, as far as bombs go, Thomas Massey had sponsored this bill that would require Trump to seek congressional approval before he does anything in Iran. What did I drop? My earbuds. Okay, well. Anyways. Yes. So the bill was put forward on March 5th of It was put forward on June 17th of 2025. A while before the war. It was, there we go, shot down on March 5th of 2026. So, not even a week after the whole thing started, they decided to vote down this thing. If they would have just voted on this when it was up the first time, it would have been over in less than a week. Imagine that, February, so obviously the 28th is the last day of February, so if you want to count the 28th, then you're looking at 6 days. If you're not counting the 28th, 5 days. Less than a week. This whole thing could have gone on if they just voted this the first time. But no, they had to shoot it down, and then it failed. And then they brought it back up, despite its failure. And so I guess, I don't know how that works. I figured you'd have to redraw the whole thing, but I guess not. But they brought it back up. And this time it passed. Now, like I said, could have all been done like a week before, but now here we are, 4 months into this war, and wow, would you look at that? They're gonna do it. I don't know. I just think that they have about, a whole 3 brain cells between all of the Republicans in Congress, and Donald Trump's got about 2 of them, and Donald Trump's fighting for the 3rd. It would really seem to me that they are just shilling right now. I don't know. Are there people who, I guess, support this war in Congress? I'm sure. But I don't think that... I think that it's mostly a party problem at this at this point. I don't know. It seems like a bit of an issue. It was a bipartisan bill to begin with when it started on June 17th of last year. But, So, by the way, I just thought about this. Today is the 5th. So, 12 days from now, it will have been a whole year in which the between the times that this was originally introduced and it passed. Of all dates not to have, I have the date that I don't have the date that it passed. That's criminal. But yeah, so it passed, you know, like a week ago or something like that. Not too long ago. So we could have had it done in less than a week. I know I've been repeating myself, but like, come on. It was right there. We could have done it. We didn't, because they're dumb. Have no backbone. And apparently the president controls the country. But yeah, like I said, Thomas Massey was the primary sponsor. Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that's it for as far as that goes. But yeah. Now, could Trump, I don't know how, I don't see us making an official declaration of war. You know, they might be able to, he might be able to seek an extension or something, but, yeah. So, there we go with that. Yes, the Senate has a bill that's basically the same thing. The Senate's bill is, there it goes. Joint Resolution 185, which, again, as it reads on Congress.gov, this joint resolution directs the president to remove U.S. armed forces from hostilities within or against Iran unless a declaration of war or authorization to use military force for such purposes has been enacted. The resolution specifies that it shall not be construed to prevent the U.S. from defending against an attack of on the United States or its personnel or facilities in other nations. So, same thing basically as the House bill, but different for some reason. I don't know why they launched two different things. maybe it's because it's not like a bill. It's not a law. They are like invoking the War Powers Act, basically. sorry, I feel like I had, you know, still feel like I have something in my throat. But so, it looks like Congress is falling apart as far as the Trump-backed Congress. By the way, speaking of the Senate vote, the vote was 50-47. I'm not sure if you'd say to 3 or to 0-3, because the vote, there were 3 people who didn't vote. They didn't abstain, they just weren't there. And the 3 people who did not vote were John Cornyn. Interesting. John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, and Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Alabama. Like I said, they just weren't there. They did not abstain. They just were not, part of the vote. And, yeah. So it passed, but, let me rephrase. It didn't pass. They voted to discharge Joint Resolution 185 from committee. So now it's up for debate and an actual vote. But like I said, so the 3 who didn't vote, all 3 Republicans, John Cornyn from Texas, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, and Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, they do publicly oppose the bill, so should they have been there to vote, the vote would have been 50-50, which would have led to a tiebreaker from J.D. Vance, which, you know, would have led to a fail. Now, John Fetterman did vote alongside the Republicans, so if you could convince John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, to flip once again, because, you know, he's been voting with the Republicans basically since the government shutdown, roughly. Yeah, so I don't know what's up with that, but I think John Fetterman got bought off somehow. Couldn't tell you. Maybe Trump told him that after, I don't know, maybe Trump told him he'd endorse him or something, but I think a Trump endorsement for a Democrat would probably kill that Democrat's career. So I really don't know what Fetterman is getting out of this. I don't think Fetterman is a supporter of the war. It would really seem to me that he's probably just bought somehow. But that is just a me. That's just my opinion. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just for some reason feels that Trump knows what he's doing. But yeah. So the Democrats do have four Republicans voting with them already. The four Republicans being. Sorry, one second. There we go. The four Republicans being Susan Collins from Maine, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, and Rand Paul from Kentucky. You know, Trump is very upset about these. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Trump, you know, he's, I don't know. I think Trump thinks he knows what's best, but I think Trump is just an idiot. I mean, he's good at getting elected, I guess. I mean, he can lie through his teeth, I guess, but you know, I don't know, people believe him for some reason, but he's no good actually at being president. So yeah, there's that. So like I said, I don't know how that vote will actually turn out once it comes down, you know, the channels. But as of currently, the vote 50-47 to three who weren't in attendance. But the three who weren't in attendance are all in opposition, so the vote's looking to be 50-50 unless unless one of the sides flips somebody. And like I said, otherwise it'll go to JD, and JD's gonna shoot it down. Because JD also has no backbone. Man literally went from calling Trump Hitler. Well, I don't know if he ever called him Hitler, but he definitely called him a fascist at one point in time. And then all of a sudden he went to being that man's vice president. Like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I get the whole politics thing, you know, like, that's just political talk. But I mean, you know, you can only call somebody, I mean, I don't think you can call somebody a fascist and then join their campaign and be like, oh, that, you know, that's just campaign talk. No, it's not. That's absurd. That's what that is. You look stupid. I mean, I don't know. It worked out for JD, I guess. He's vice president right now, but I don't know. It's an interesting world we live in as of currently. Now, I don't know what Trump has said about Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Bill Cassidy, you know, Rand Paul. But I do know that all of the people who supported Massey as far as this bill goes, in the House, the gosh, I have hiccups. The House Concurrent Resolution 38 have been beat over the head 7 ways to Sunday by the... the president, I guess, Trump. I'm trying to remember who all support, well, not specifically this, but I don't know why I said this. It would be the release of the Epstein files, because Thomas Massey was also really big on the release of the Epstein file, the full release of the Epstein files. Apparently she resigned. I didn't know she had resigned. What? I don't know. Marjorie Taylor Greene is built different. I don't know. That's weird. But there was a post about something about meat prices, and then she mentioned, yeah, well, you know, if you think beef prices are high, and you know, imagine you know, eating maggots. What? If you think beef prices are high, now imagine what they will be after eating flesh maggots wipe out a significant portion of the remaining U.S. cattle supply. That's crazy. Now, I don't know anything about that. But, that's interesting, to say the least. No, I don't know. I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene's up to now. I did not know she, actually resigned. As of, January 5th, 2026. I knew she said she wasn't gonna run again, but I didn't know she actually resigned. That's crazy. I thought she might just say... I thought she might just say that she wasn't going to run to get the heat off of her, and then come election cycle, run for office again. But so I guess Marjorie Taylor Greene's out of office. But yes, all the people who voted with Thomas Massie and I guess Marjorie Taylor Greene to again Thomas Massie, I do believe for this one I don't have the. Actually, in front of me, but I do believe Thomas Massie was the main sponsor of this one too, the mass release of the Epstein files, full release, not mass release. And Marjorie Taylor Greene supported it, and I can't remember who the other people were. But yeah, so and they you know got beat over the head beat over their head for that, and apparently Marjorie Taylor Greene at least got run out of office. I mean, I don't know if she resigned for that reason. Maybe she had some kind of health problems or something. I couldn't tell you. But I think it's pretty convenient that she said she wasn't going to run for office again because Trump, basically because Trump, I mean, you know, she was getting beat over the head by the party because Trump called her a traitor and I don't know, something like that. Yeah, I didn't know she resigned. Now I'm sure she was stressed. I mean, I bet you it's not a comfortable job to be getting beat over the head on Capitol Hill by the president when you were in the U.S. state or I guess the U.S. representatives. But nonetheless, I don't know. Once again, interesting times we live in. If you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Doesn't even have to be on the topic at hand. It could be about just about anything. But yeah, so it's interesting. I don't really know what you do about that. But I think Marjorie Taylor Greene has got to, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene should have, personally, not left office, or not resigned at the very least. I mean, if she didn't want to run for office again, then I wouldn't run for office, I suppose. But I would hate for, I would hate to be run out of office. but yeah. Sorry, my brother had sent me a message and it threw me off. But yeah, so if anybody has anything they'd like to say, do feel free to call in. It doesn't have to be about this. It could be about anything. So far, we've talked about Trump's the removal of Trump's name from the Kennedy Center, as well as the cancelization of the, or I guess the cancelizing, canceling of the renovations that were supposed to happen in July. And then we also talked about the House Resolution 38, House Concurrent Resolution 38, I guess, which, you know, basically directs the president to withdraw troops or get a congressional approval to continue the war or an official war declaration. Senate did basically the same thing. Now, the Senate's is much closer, like I said, because it's 50 to 47 to 3 who were not in attendance, and all three who were not in attendance were in opposition to the bill. I'm interested to see what happens with that, as far as that goes. The House Resolution 38 has passed, so it is in effect. Now, I don't know how Trump, like I said, is going to do that. I don't know if he's planning to follow through with what the House says, but I guess we shall see when it comes to it. Once again, by the way, I was wrong. I've been wrong now twice. yes, once again, I was wrong. Trump's tax, how would you even say that? Trump's tax audit exemption status, maybe? I don't know. The fact that Trump is not able to be audited by the IRS, due to his lawsuit, wasn't revoked, but, a judge in Miami named, Kathleen Williams, did decide to reopen the lawsuit. And the decision came in response to court papers filed on Wednesday, I guess, by a bipartisan group of 35 former federal judges. So 35 former federal judges wrote this, complaint to reopen the investigation. They apparently, according to, I don't know, the AP, I guess, wherever I got this exact article, I use, like, the AP, the Guardian, New York Times, it just varies. But, the decision... Where was I even at? The decision came in response to court papers filed on Wednesday by a bipartisan group of 35 former federal judges who urged her to bring the case back to life and dig into the details of the agreement to settle it. So there you go. Good on her, I guess, for being a public servant. By the way, while looking into this. This court filing. I learned that one of the judges who was one of the 35, I guess, was John Jones III, who was appointed by George W. Bush. So W. Bush appointed John Jones III to the. I don't really know which one. I do believe it was Miami. Apparently it's not Miami anymore. But, because now he's the president of Dickinson College in Pennsylvania. So, I don't really know how that whole thing worked. But, one of 35 federal judges, one of which at least being appointed by W. Bush. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool that a Bush appointment was working against Trump, but I don't know. I guess Bush and Trump aren't exactly the same kind of animal. Now you know W. Bush was also a warmonger, but you'll have that, I guess. We have them war hawks. Speaking of war hawks, I mean I haven't done any looking into exactly what what else has been done as far as Cuba goes, but Cuba is still under threat from the United States. Speaking of war hawks, like I said, I don't really know. I mean, I know Marco Rubio is the main driving force of this, but I don't really know. I think Lindsey Graham maybe is a fan. I can't think of the names, but I know Marco Rubio has been pushing this hard. This has been Rubio's, like, you know, his prime objective is Cuba. Now, I don't know what he's got against Cuba. I know that he is a second generation immigrant. I think his parents came from Cuba. Maybe his grandparents, but I do believe it was his parents. So I do know that, but I don't know why, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I would be pretty interested in as to why he feels that this is what he needs to do, but I'd assume it has something to do with the fact that he's a former Cuban immigrant. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of fervor against Cuba. I mean, Cuba is a tiny island country, or not tiny, but you know, island country nonetheless. And a lot of their problems are already from us. We have they lack medicine. I know they lack medicine, and they lack medicine because we have the trade embargoes on them. They lack energy. Now, the energy lacking, I don't know how much is because of the trade embargoes. I know they can't buy fuel and whatnot, but they are, you know, supposedly they like to try to be self-sufficient. So, but, you know, I don't know how that works. I don't know. Cuba just doesn't really seem like a problem to me. I know that Marco Rubio, or maybe it wasn't Rubio, but somebody, I know it came in an article I was reading about Rubio, said that they had gotten like 300, like autonomous warfare, like military drones. And like, congrats, good for them. Like, and they said that it was something to do, because they were like planning an attack on Guantanamo Bay. I think I talked about this last week. Pointless. I don't think they're attacking Guantanamo. I don't think... I mean, like... Cuba doesn't even have power in, like, half the country. I don't know why Cuba would go picking wars with you know, anybody at this rate. I don't know. Anyways, I got a bit off topic there, but seems to be some kind of a problem with Cuba. And I'm not sure what that is. I mean, I know, you know, Cuba's a whole, like, communist country, and it's a one-party state, and there are elections, but the elections aren't really, like, any good, because, like, the party picks the candidates, and I don't know. It's, not great. But, yeah. I think their current president and chairman of the Communist Party is Miguel Diaz-Canel. There are theories that the Castros, well, I don't know how the Castros would do it. I don't even know if Raul Castro's still alive. I know Fidel's dead. Raul Castro is still alive. He's 95 years old. He's doing pretty good. Good on him. I don't know. Now, I don't think Raul was as bad as Fidel. But, I mean, a dictator's a dictator, I guess. Nonetheless, Fidel, is dead. Raul's still around. But there is, the whole theory that, Castro is still running the Communist Party of Cuba. I don't know if I buy into it. I mean, he's not in office. I don't know how he'd be running the Communist Party of Cuba. I do believe he's still, in office, though. He's just not president. As of currently, his title is Deputy of the National Assembly of the People's Power of Cuba. So, I guess he's like the, I mean, I don't know what the National Assembly of the People's Power of Cuba is, but it sounds like Congress. So I guess he's like, I don't know, in charge of Congress or something. If I had to take a guess. Nonetheless, pretty good. He was also in charge of the armed forces for a while of Cuba. I do know that much. That's always pretty nice, I guess. I don't know why I got to talking about Cuba, but warmongers like to fight people, and Cuba's next on the list, I guess. Now, yeah, like I said, the tax-exempt status has been opened back up, and yes, while looking into it, I found out that there was a judge, John Jones III, who was appointed by W. Bush. He's one of the 35 who signed the thing. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I think that's about where I left off. It being cool. Anyway. Judge Williams, I guess. I just wrote she, but Judge Williams is probably a better way to put it. She said she wanted to investigate grievous allegations that the hasty deal to resolve it, it being the lawsuit. She wants to investigate grievous allegations that the hasty deal to resolve it was premised on deception. And she ordered Trump's lawyers to tell her by June 12th whether the lawsuit should be formally reopened. Sorry, I had hiccups there. Formally be reopened, or be formally reopened, because the court was the victim of a fraud. And that's a quote. The court was a victim of a fraud. She also left a footnote. She left a couple footnotes, but one of the footnotes was the addendum was signed only by the acting attorney general. Now, in reading stories, or I guess reading articles about this story, I came across people who were drawing comparisons to, Nixon's attorney general, John Mitchell, who was, I didn't do a very good job of researching this guy, apparently. But yeah, they drew parallels between Nixon's Attorney General John Mitchell, who was convicted of conspiracies, or convicted of conspiracy and a bunch of other things. That's why I said I didn't research him very well, because I just wrote conspiracy. But I'm sure there's more than conspiracy in there. Yeah, he was charged with a bunch of other things for his role in the in Watergate and the Watergate cover-up. Which, by the way, makes him the first Attorney General in U.S. history. And the first and only U.S. U.S. Attorney General. I guess there have been states Attorney General before, but he was the first and only, first Attorney General and only U.S. Attorney General to have been put in prison. Good. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think people who break the law should be put in prison, especially to this degree. Now, I don't know that we should be throwing everybody in prison for any reason. You know, I don't think that most laws are, like, you know, I think it's, I don't know. I'm no Supreme Court justice. I don't know. But I don't think we should be throwing people in jail for a lot of stuff, but conspiracy is certainly one where I'd throw you in jail. Or prison, I guess, not jail. But, yeah, so, we have about, 7 minutes left here. If you would like to call in, now would be your, best chance. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. We talked about a lot so far. I've run through all the political stories I had. I mean, there was, I didn't write down anything about the cancelization of the ballroom. I don't know why I keep calling it cancelization. It's just cancellation of the ballroom. Gosh, sometimes I just be slow. They canceled the ballroom. I don't know why per se, but they did. Now, it was supposed to be pretty cheap at the beginning. Well, pretty cheap, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and now it's up to $1 billion. The ballroom. Let's see if I can't find some information real fast. But we've talked about a lot so far. I mean, thus far we've talked about the taking the name off of formerly Trump Kennedy Center, now just Kennedy Center once again, as it was deemed illegal. We talked about the resolutions passing both the House, well, I guess not both yet, but passing in the House that would direct Donald Trump to either withdraw troops or seek approval. The Senate is currently working to vote on their own resolution that does the same thing. I would assume that there's just some kind of difference in how they want to enforce it. I don't know otherwise why they both need to do one. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it's not a law, like I said, and they're just, like, invoking something that already exists. I don't know. But anyways, so we've talked about that. We've talked about the Senate one. We've talked about and then we talked about the Trump's the potential of Trump's lawsuit being reopened because of a federal judge in Miami, as well as 35 former federal judges, including one who was appointed by W. Bush. I don't know, that's pretty good. I think I think that ballroom. I think that the ballroom getting shut down was also a good thing. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word ballroom, originally it was supposed to be $400 million, and now it's, supposed to be over $1 billion. There was a temporary hold put on the ballroom due to a ruling that the administration lacks statutory authority to build the ballroom without congressional approval. Obviously, the Trump administration appealed it. I guess we'll see where that goes. So now it's in the, the Court of Appeals as it goes. So we shall see where that ends everything. But, it does say that, Senate Republicans officially removed a provision allocating $1 billion for ballroom security upgrades from their budget, reconciliation, and immigration packages. The project has been heavily contested due to the combination of these budget rule violations and the lawsuit from the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So, we tore down the White House for no reason. That's what we're getting at. Tore down the White House for not a reason. The First Lady's Wing, gone. Or I guess the First Lady's Office, gone. For why? So we could build a ballroom that never got built. You're supposed to get the approvals and the paperwork and all that good stuff before you start tearing stuff down, but I guess that's just too much work. I mean, maybe he thought that if he started tearing it down before he got approval, they'd be like, well, now we got to approve it. You know, he done tore it all up. I don't know. Trump does like to do that a lot, I think. It would seem that Trump likes to, like, try to strong-arm people by saying that's what's happening, and then, you know, because otherwise it makes it look like you're lying, even though he's the liar. But, yeah. Yeah, by the way, we talked a little bit about it. I'm surprised we even got to it, honestly, because last hour was music and whatnot, more of an entertaining show. There is going to be a UFC event on the White House lawn, and I think it's called, I wanted to say UFC 250, but I know that's not right, because they, like, just rank theirs by numbers. Like, right now, they're on UFC 300 and something, I do believe. So, I think they're just calling it UFC, or, like US 250 or something like that. I don't remember the exact phraseology, but, TKO, I really don't know what TKO stands for. I mean, I know it, like, in actual combat sports, it stands for, like, you know, technical knockout, but TKO is, like, a holding company who owns the WWE, the UFC, Zuffa Boxing, or Zuffa, maybe, I think it's pronounced Zuffa, I don't know, a couple more, like, combat entities, Slap Fight, yeah, so on and so forth. Just basically big multi-billion-dollar company that's funded by the Saudis. funnily enough, the Saudi Arabia has a large ownership in this. But yeah, so big old group TKO. But yes, the UFC is obviously the like, you know, their subsidiary that's going to be having the event, but TKO, I do believe, is going to pay for the ring. I don't even think the UFC is paying. I think TKO is paying for it, but I guess by proxy, the UFC is TKO, so, you know. Anyways, yeah, so they're building this, like, just on the lawn of the White House, and people have complained because it blocks the view of the White House, and that's valid. I mean, yeah, I don't know when they started doing the Washington, D.C. trip, but the White House is a very nice building to look at. I mean, we went and saw, you know, obviously they got the fence around it, but we went and saw the White House. I saw Secret Service walking on the roof. I thought that was cool for some reason. But no, really nice. We saw the reflecting pool. We went to the, we went to Arlington Cemetery, you know, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, so on and so forth. Washington, D.C. is a very nice place. I think going right now would probably be a bit of a different kind of atmosphere. I feel bad for the kids who are making D.C. trips right now. I guess it wouldn't be right now. I think ours was in, like, I don't know, August or something. Late in the year. Very rainy. I remember that. Anyways, we got about 9 seconds left, so I appreciate everybody for listening. As always, have a nice night. Hope you enjoyed, and, stay safe.
You're listening to the place for the best guests.